Hi, and welcome to this special Halloween Spirits Work. And what better night could you get to have a paranormal and metaphysical program? But first, let me tell you a little bit about the show. I'm Sylvie Avery.
And I'm Mick Avery.
And we are spirit mediums, healers and authors, and each week on the show we discuss subjects of interest with our spirit friend Gregory Hay, who gives us the benefit of his wisdom and insight from the spirit world. We act as a doorway to the other side of life. When live on the show, Mick Deep Trance channels Gregory, who is a spokesperson for a highly evolved spirit group, who have come to steer us onto a path of spiritual growth and understanding, so we may change the negative course of the planet. We don't follow any religious beliefs or concepts, but believe everyone has the right to their own way of thinking and point of view.
Now, this spirit group is called the White Cloud Group, and they are made up of eminent scientists, physicists, scholars of all description, along with ordinary people who between them can answer our searching questions and help us to grow with the knowledge we gain. They hope that armed with truth and facts, we will be able to make more responsible and informed decisions and actions and bring ourselves to a newer understanding. We have four books: The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. And they are all available from Amazon.com, bookstores, or from our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. And as well as Spirit's Work on blogginservice.com every Monday at 10 p.m. EST, we have another radio show called Spirit Teaching Radio, which is on artistfirst.com every Tuesday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Before I go into trance and bring Gregory through, I'll explain what happens. First of all, I subdue my mind and then fall into an instant deep meditative state, a little like having an anesthetic, and that's the last thing I remember. My spirit and my consciousness are taken by the scientists and alchemists in the spirit team, and I am looked after by them and my doorkeeper until I am sent back when Gregory has finished using my body. I don't know anything about what has taken place while Gregory has been speaking to you, and I hardly ever know where I've been when I am not here. But it's never the same experience twice.
Okay, so let's get straight down to it then, Mick. And if you'd like to go, get yourself ready to go into trance now, because we've got a lot of ground to cover on this Halloween edition, and we're going to be talking about everything. See if we can cover most aspects of things that go bump in the night. In our spirit, Mick and I are called to deal with all forms of paranormal interaction. And for us, that means helping people on this side of life and also those on the other side of life. So it would be good to talk about how we can understand and recognize certain supernatural situations to maybe... Let's see what is truth and fiction, and spell a few myths, and actually probably find out a few truths that we never realized were fact, and to understand how they come about, and maybe what we can do about them. I mean, generally, everybody can do about them if there is anything to do that we can help to understand the situation. Mick and I's mission statement is really to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and well-being of the planet. You know, and this includes people who aren't in physical body now. This includes people in the spirit world who need our help for whatever reason, in whatever way. So, I'd like to say thank you for anybody who may have just joined us who missed the intro, because you're going to listen to spirit guide Gregory Hay being channeled by deep trance medium Mick Avery. And I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome to the Halloween edition of Spirit's Work. And I do believe that Gregory is with us now.
Hello, dear friend.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, friend. Hello. Good day and... Once again, it is with the utmost love that we are here. I am so pleasured and honored, as always, to be in your kind vibration, little bird. And I am so happy to be here and be able to take part in this program.
So this is Halloween night. So does it feel any different for you or for the spirit world on this time of year?
Well, perhaps, my dear friend, it feels a little different, yet it is a time when you on your side of life, certain sections of civilization at least, are training their thoughts upon those of us who are in the spirit world. It is not necessarily something that we always view with trepidation. It isn't a time of devilment, and it certainly is not a time when we wish to bring ourselves into further contact necessarily with those on your side of life. It is purely a time of focus for you, in particular, in certain sections of your society, when you actually celebrate this time of year.
Yes, I mean, it's started spreading to more than just sort of ghosts and spirits now. It seems to be going on to vampires and werewolves and all sorts of things. But and we'd like to cover most of these things, I think. It would be really good. So most people call a ghost a spirit person.
Yes.
But we don't actually call them that, do we? Should we just differentiate there?
Yes, quite so. Indeed. From the spirit world's point of view, dear friends, a ghost is merely residual energy, non-reactive residual energy, something that is a repetitive scenario which plays itself out on your side of life from time to time. Perhaps it is a time-based situation, or it could even be seasonal. It depends entirely upon what the event is that has been left there. What we are saying then, friends, is that a ghost in actual fact is a recorded mechanism of an instance of someone's life who once lived on your side of life. It is non-reactive to you, will not resonate to you if you come near to it, can even move right through you, and you will not necessarily experience any facet of it. It will not necessarily give off any energy, although it may disturb the temperature layer within its passing.
So you could actually be standing right in front of it, waving your arms about, talking and gesturing and trying to communicate, and it could not communicate back.
Exactly so, because there is no life form attached to it.
Okay.
And I mean this most sincerely, that so what you are looking or observing in that time is not an apparition of your mind, but is an actual integrated part of the structure of the layering of your side of life. It is something that has become impacted and is fixed to a particular place.
And how does it, what triggers it off?
And what triggers it off, dear friend, is sometimes a human being's presence, a physical presence, such as yourself, coming close to the event, and that itself can trigger the moment if the timeline is similar. It may be only if there is a timeline attached to the figure, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there is no timeline attached to it, and it will just occur in a random fashion.
So if it's in a haunted house that is famous and people go there on trips,
yes,
specifically to see these ghosts,
yes,
it will trigger off more often. It will keep happening because of the energy of the people that are there.
Yes, of course. Exactly so.
Right.
It doesn't mean to say that spirit are there, as I said, because
no,
it is non-reactive.
No.
Now, however, it may well be that there is a significant attachment to the ghost apparition.
Uh-huh.
And that means that, quite simply, that the spirit of the being may well return there from time to time and actually visit the place. And in this case, what it does, it renews the energy of the apparition each time that it visits. And that is why it never ceases to exist. You see, ordinarily, there would be an actual timeline fixed to the residual energy, and it would gradually dissipate through the processes of time. It would gradually wear out,
mm-hmm,
because it contains no further energy to keep it going.
To sort of feed it, yeah.
Yes, quite so. Now, I know that possibly contradicts what I've already said, in that it is people, your side of life, live people, who are bringing their energy to, in order to make it appear.
Mm-hmm.
But what I am saying is that it still has its own energy within itself. That residual energy that continues, however, that gradually lessens through a period of time. It may take many years, even centuries of time on your side of life.
And is it just a random situation? Why it happens at some times and not at others? Why certain ghosts exist and not everything that has happened in a place leaves an energy like that behind?
Yes, of course, because it would depend entirely upon whether the individual itself continues partly to revisit the place, to, as I say, reenact the energy, or whether it has actually been a situation that has been resolved, and therefore the energy gradually dissipates and eventually disappears.
Yes, but why aren't everybody, why doesn't everybody become a ghost in that situation? I mean, why only certain situations?
Because it generally tends to happen because of some traumatic situation that has delivered it to that place. It may, of course, on the other hand, also be delivered to that place through an act of divine love as well. So it is quite difficult at times to pinpoint a specific reason, because there are so many variables depending upon the situation. Why is it that not everybody leaves a ghost image of their presence?
Mm.
Well, I am saying that people on your side of life very often do leave an essence of their energy, particularly within a building, for example, a place that they have loved or that they have lived in, even a place that they have built at one point in their lives. And what we have to say is that sometimes it is their loving essence that continues to thrive in that building, particularly if people such as yourselves then take over the building and continue it in the way they would have loved and respected it. You see, so the more that people on your side put love and respect into the work they have progressed in their life, then they, in a way, reciprocate sometimes. In fact, that may even draw the spirit of the individual back to the house itself to congratulate those owners on their fine keeping.
Mm. And so you can, a ghost is a residual energy, it's non-reactive,
yes.
The spirit
yes.
isn't necessarily there, in fact, it's not there,
yes.
Attached to it.
Although, of course,
it could be there visiting it and watching it.
Yes, quite so,
yeah.
And it's quite possible, of course, that paranormal investigations will reveal that these residual energies will actually, as I say, change the temperature of the room, bring about variable densities in the organic situation of a room, in fact. In the very chemical atmosphere of the room, it may even change the ambient magnetic field or the electromagnetic field that exists around certain objects.
Mm. So can animals leave their ghost image?
Sometimes, indeed so. Yes. Once again, this may happen in a traumatic event, or it may actually happen that they leave a residual image as a reminder of some act that occurred in that place.
Yes. Yeah.
It isn't to say, of course, necessarily, that these will constantly be sparked off by people or other animals being present.
No. Okay. So then we move along to spirits, which actually most people do call ghosts.
Yes.
I have to say. So,
yes,
you know,
I understand that.
So we'll stick to spirits.
Yes, because really, my dear friend, those of us in the spirit world who have had a physical human earth life, or even for that matter, those of animals who have had an earth life, do not wish to feel or call themselves ghosts.
No, because it's sort of like...
At all.
No.
Because that is something of a horror, something of a negative impact that had been existing within physical life and still exists in physical life today, as you see it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and something that's not that significant or important.
Well, yes, quite so. Whereas the spirit, those of us who are on our side of life and who are interactive with you, wish to remain so as being a part of the community, if you like. We are still a part of the consciousness of your side of life, in a way.
So
because
we
actually have a great deal to do with your lives. We are, after all, each and every one of us have been or will be at some stage a doorkeeper for someone else.
Okay, right, we'll have to go into that another time.
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. So shall we call it a spirit image?
Yes, please.
We'll call it a spirit image.
Yes.
So when people see a spirit image, how do they know that it's not a ghost?
Quite simply because they will react to you. They can actually impact form in your life. They can bring about form so that you may see them clearer than what you would see a ghostal image. It may be, for example, that the spirit of a father or similar loved one appears at the bottom of someone's bed. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And that in so doing, they may actually react to the loved one who is observing them. And in which case, they may sit upon the bed and they will feel the weight of the being that they would have had when they were in physical life. And the bed will actually depress underneath that weight. This is an ingenious and wonderful experience, very often for those loved ones on your side of life to have this brought about in their life. And it is actually due to the essence of love, the relationship between the one who is observing and the loved one who has passed to our side of life. It is really to bring them evidence that they continue to live.
And there's obviously more planning gone into that than because of the actual making of the impression on the bed, surely.
Yes, of course.
So there's other people helping them to do that.
Yes, of course, because it actually takes a great deal of energy on the part of the spirit world in order to bring this about. This is to do with actual materialization, physical materialization on your side of life, which does not mean to say that the subject, I say subject, the being who is lying upon the bed on your side of life observing, it does not mean to say that they have a gift of physical mediumship in order to bring this about. You understand?
No, no.
This is something that is quite necessarily isolated, in isolation, and brought about by the various scientists on our side of life who enable a specific mechanism, an anti-gravity mechanism, which enables them to bring about full cellular memory into enabling that being to be fully clothed in what they would have worn and in the body that they had in physical life. Of course, this is a part of the cellular memory that every spirit being takes with them upon their departing journey from the physical life.
And the spirit world can do that with pets too, can't they?
Yes, of course. Indeed. There may be, people may on your side of life experience their pets suddenly jumping up upon the bed. For example, I know that beds are always seem to be an attractive point because there are times when you yourselves are relaxed and perhaps winding down from your day, or perhaps these events may occur in the middle of the night when you have already had some sleep and so you are stirring from your slumbers, but you are not exactly awake. You are not actually bringing your minds into play within your vibration and understanding. So you have not already cluttered it, you see, by your presence. So you are not bringing your presence fully into your reality. You are enabling, therefore, that these situations may happen around you. because you will be more susceptible to them. Does not mean to say that you are weaker and vulnerable at that time, or that you are necessarily susceptible to negative energies either. I am just merely saying that this means it is a time when the spirit world may possibly react with you in a very positive and loving way to give you energies of your life of love that have occurred to you in your past.
Yes, and a lot of people get the feeling they get stroked on their hair and things like that in situations like this.
Of course, and they are very loving, highly emotive, and very precious to all concerned, because there are times, you must understand, when the spirit world and the physical world can really come together in a loving way.
So what about poltergeists? What are poltergeists?
Poltergeists, on the other hand, then, are to do with different things, completely different things. It may be that events in the physical world that occur to some people are considered as being poltergeistic, purely and simply because they see objects moving, or physical objects being thrown, or actually feel a presence within their room that they have a fear over. Purely because of their lack of understanding. That is not necessarily a poltergeist, although people do misinterpret what these things are, you see.
Yeah.
What I am saying is that very often if something happens between the spirit world and your physical side of life, that is a physical statement, that is a physical thing, it can very often be that it is misconstrued and is interpreted as being something negative or fearful because of that person's upbringing or the way that they have trained their thought.
Yeah, I mean, well, the way we've got to sit and watch the films on the television.
Well, yes, of course, and all of these situations are viewed with some trepidation as being negative and impacting in some horrific way on the unsuspecting and frail human subject.
Mm-hmm.
It is not like that at all, of course. It may well be, however, that a true poltergeistic situation may develop at some stage, and these are easily recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that during this situation that the swell of negativity is very much defined. It may be that it is directed, for example, at children in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And this can happen in quite a violent way. I'm not saying that this is a regular occurrence. It is actually quite rare. However, it does happen. And it is not a failure of the spirit world, but it is really some situation that has to be resolved by certain processes that we will outline a little later on.
Mm-hmm.
So it is to say then, dear friend, that when you view a poltergeistic situation, it can actually be quite violent. Yes, it can be that plates and objects and things are thrown from one side of the room to the other. It may be that doors are slammed in the person's face. It may even be that a person is pinned up against a wall by it.
Yes, we've dealt with a case like this.
Yes, quite so. And though quite rare, as I say, these events can sometimes be triggered off by actual physical human behavior that they have attracted to themselves. So it means to say, for example, that sometimes a person's behavior may attract lower negative forms who have had a physical life and have caused negative acts or illness or have caused grief in some way in the physical side of life and then have failed to retract from that negativity, have in fact grown with that negativity and continued it on in their spirit state. That is not to say, dear friends, that their spirit is mean or evil or anything of that nature. What it merely means is that the consciousness of the physical being still interacts upon the spirit and drives the spirit to that end. It is not the will of the spirit. You must understand that spirit in its purity is pure. It has to be because it is part of what God is, the same as you are. You are merely a physical embodiment of what God is, but a spirit is still a part of what God is. So you cannot possibly have what God is as being something of a demonic nature,
no,
can you?
No, but so basically it's encrusted and encased the spirit in such a hard shell,
yes,
that of negativity that it can't actually penetrate.
Yes, it cannot break free,
no,
from that bond of physical consciousness, because sometimes the physical consciousness can be so dire, so completely overrun by the negativity within it, that it takes precedence even over the purity of the spirit within.
So what sort of situations can bring, you said that people's actions and how they behave,
yes,
in their life can bring this on themselves. What sort of things could do this?
Well, really, we are looking at people's own stupidity or ignorance in their lack of knowledge of what their behavior may create in the bridge between the physical world and the spirit world. For example, it may be that a person is an EVP enthusiast and wishes to go to graveyards of a night time and take their recordings, make recordings of what they would determine as ghosts or spirits of those who have passed to our side of life, who are perhaps in some way entrapped within that particular place or within their surrounding. Now, in order to go into why that would be, would possibly take another whole program to define it.
Mm.
You understand?
Yes.
Because in cases of entrapment and why these scenarios are actually played out is quite an involved subject in itself. And we do not wish to alarm people at this stage as to that being a possibility, you understand?
Yes.
But it is a possibility. It is to say that it is really to do with the train of thought, and we will have to leave it there for the
moment. We'll do a show on that some other time.
Yes, quite so. Now, so as I understand and observe regularly, that the behavior on your side of life of these individuals, perhaps if they go to these places and they leave themselves unprotected, that is, in the way of protecting oneself with the will of love and light, even encasing themselves in the shield of love and light to be reflective as a mirror,
mm-hmm,
so that these negative energies do not attach themselves to people on your side of life, what they actually do then in walking around these places, they may actually gain negative attachments because they are a light, or because they have their energy that they have. And some spirits, lower forms of spirit, as I say, who have had a negative experience in their lives and who have not gone beyond, perhaps because they do not wish to go through recompense and reconciliation in the spirit world. They know perhaps what is going to come to them, because someone has to pay something for the negative action that they create.
Yes.
Then what occurs, dear friend, is that they bring them back with them. And you are then left with what is termed by us on our side of life as a hot house. It is a place where negativity reigns supreme, where different actions of negativity create further negative responses, certainly by the human subject that they have become infatuated with, because they actually see they are gaining results by their negativity. They are causing this person distress, they are causing them great anxiety and worry, and obviously they are very frightened by the experience.
Mm.
And this only goes to serve the energy energy of the spirit that is causing this problem, and it makes them more powerful. So it is an ongoing situation that may become exacerbated by the concentration and the willful acts that are created upon them.
And the reaction.
And their reaction, yes,
so
quite
what,
so.
What should somebody do in that situation?
Well, apart from actually stopping their activities,
mm-hmm.
they need to obviously seek help from those who are versed in such situations. Actual mediums are far better to make contact with rather than those who come round and serve out demonic or those who are demonologist enthusiasts who wish to cast out such energies. This is not something that is going to be fruitful or helpful to those on our side of life, because to begin with, what you have to do is to address the actual balance of why the situation has occurred in the first place. Why is the negative individual negative?
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that will have to be unraveled through a period of time. So it is not something that can just be resolved overnight, as it were. It may well be that the person would have to, the subject, the human subject, would have to leave for a short period of time whilst communication is established between the negativity, the negative energy of the spirit, in order to work out exactly why it is that the situation has transpired. And of course they will be able to use their spirit awareness on the part of the medium in order to gather this information.
To communicate with the poltergeist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. And then appeal to any better nature that is lying there, or...
Well, my dear friend, every being has had some form of better nature within their lifetime. It is just a matter of reeling back the years of memory and understanding what they have actually travelled through in their physical life and why they have brought about the cause and action they have.
Mm.
It is usually through that they seek help. It isn't just that there is this negative situation that is unable to be reversed, you see.
Mm.
There is always a reversal process in every situation. Nothing is lost ever,
mm.
you understand?
Yeah, but it's just going to take longer than like a priest or somebody coming along and blessing and banishing and smudging and whatever.
Yes, quite so.
Calling it good.
Yes, yes, quite so. Mm. Yes, yes.
You've got to be realistic about it.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And then, what about things like these shadow people? Are they real?
Well, they may well be. I'm not saying that everyone is, you understand, but they may well be. And this is tends to happen purely and simply because there are certain situations that become unraveled sometimes by beings from other worlds, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It may well be that is something that has brought up the situation, and that what in fact they may be is that they are beings who are intensely negative, and this has actually brought about their distinction between their actual form and those of the spirit world who have actually had a human existence.
Mm-hmm.
So they are not necessarily of human origin.
Okay.
And I know that there are those who may think that quite to the contrary, and that is a matter for them.
Mm-hmm. And is there any way of knowing the difference?
Absolutely so. Their energy is completely different. Yes. It is something that you will define if you ever meet one, that you will feel that they are not actually of this presence. They are not of the same specific energy as any human being you will ever likely to meet.
Mm, most people that I've read about that have had the experience of shadow people have not actually been able to describe the feeling that they felt.
Yes, exactly so. Of course,
them.
Because they are so alien, because they are alien. Mm-hmm. You understand?
And are they always the same alien race? Are they, like,
yes.
Are they grey?
They are not.
No, okay.
They are another race entirely.
Okay.
Sometimes grey may well chameleonize such an apparition
okay.
of themselves. However, they can only do it for a short period of time because it takes them too much energy.
Right.
To make that form of distortion.
Right. Okay.
Greys are actually too large, and they actually have to shrink themselves in order to bring that kind of apparition about.
I see. Aren't there large greys and small greys?
Well, yes, they are, but I'm saying that the ones that are actually responsible for that can only cloak themselves within that form for a specific time. Small greys do not do that.
Okay, I see. I think we're going to do another program on that because I think
yes,
that is fascinating
so.
And very necessary.
Yes, quite so.
That's great. Okay, I've got to ask this because I saw a program last night on the television about vampires and werewolves. And are they real?
Well, my dear friend, much of this stems from the fears of the Middle Ages and early human activity within the place of the European continent, the Eastern European continent, that came and arose through fears of anti-Christian behavior. And these were situations that developed because of the demonic warlords that existed at that time across and throughout the northern stretches of the European and sometimes into the Russian borders of that part of the landscape of your side of life. It was something that became prevalent, particularly in the Middle Ages, because there was such ignorance that existed between the poorer peoples. There was great power centered upon the monks, you see,
mm-hmm.
and the priests of that time. They were the only ones, for example, who could read and write. They kept very much of the ancient texts and the ways of bringing intellect to the minds of subjects, that they kept it very much to themselves at that time. And so people became very frightened by the different states that could possibly occur at any time in the night time, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually gathered more and more frightening experiences and negative experiences to one another, and this actually became quite delusionary to those people. They actually became very frightened people at that time. There was a great deal of fear exhibited in the European continent at that time. And much of these stories are what has developed from that fear.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery, and I'm Sylvie Avery. Welcome to our Halloween edition of Spirit's Work. So why do we like being frightened? You know, because that's what it's all about, really. You know,
yes.
People go ghost hunting because they want to be frightened.
Yes,
we watch horror movies because we want to be frightened.
Yes, yes. I am quite surprised that it still continues. However, it was just the same, my dear friend, in my day. In fact, witches were still not tolerated at all. In fact, they were still imprisoned, and some were actually tortured and killed.
Yes. Yeah.
And it is, I understand what you are saying. It is actually quite amazing that it continues to be so prevalent. It is always, however, driven through ignorance. It is always somehow that it makes people feel safe if they feel that the outside world to do with all of the aggression and violence and negativity that exists outside can become, that it makes them feel more cozy and safe when they are in their home environment, yet they still wish to be, take little trips into these realms of fear.
Yes, I mean, and that's interesting that we were talking yesterday on a radio show that there was a child that saw a spirit, and he was quite fine about it. And then the parents totally got freaked out about it and,
yes.
and were worried and, oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes.
And then the next time the child saw the spirit, it was mummy, 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 daddy, daddy's there again, make him
of
go
course.
Away.
Yes, of course. And that is what I'm saying, you see, that people have to be much more careful about how they raise their concerns over issues that they may consider frivolous at one time, but because of the fact that actually what is being represented is something of a fictitious nature, yes, that may well be something that can bring you a fear. Fear is an enjoyment of a specific chemical reaction within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But what you are actually creating also is an alarmist attitude in the child to then not think for itself, because what it is doing is being aggravated by your present behavior or by your previous behavior, and that becomes a part, because it is so volatile, it becomes an actual part of their cellular makeup.
Mm.
And so, yes, they then feel the same fears that you feel, because you have placed it upon them.
Mm. And they don't distinguish between...
because they cannot.
Because they cannot. You know, that it actually could be granddad or somebody,
yes, absolutely,
you know, somebody
so.
Loving.
Yes, absolutely so. And the very fact, as you say, that the innocence and purity of the child who at first viewed the situation from our side of life, it may well be that their purity was something that the spirit wished to exchange with their own love for that child, and that situation has now been completely destroyed by the intervention of the adult within their own fear and their own parameter of their own ignorance of the truth of the situation.
Mm.
All they have really done is continue to react within situations that have occurred perhaps prior to that.
So in the instance of children, because you said that negative spirits, poltergeists in particular, can concentrate on, their energy onto a child, in that situation, how would you know the difference?
Well, quite simply, dear friend, because if it is a loving vibration, then they will, obviously, they will want to continue to be attracted to the child because of the love situation that exists there, and that is something that is very healthy and can be extremely rewarding for the relationship of both of them. Exactly the same as it can be for anyone on your side of life to have a relationship with someone in the spirit world.
So I suppose as long as the spirit image that the child is seeing is saying nice things to them, and being kind to them, and not, you know, I mean, if it was a negative, if it was a poltergeist, things wouldn't be good happening around the child.
Exactly
in
so.
In general.
Yes, yes, they would not be good from the outset.
Mm.
They would be something that would have a menacing nature to it, you see.
Yeah.
But obviously, if the child is actually interacting with grandfather who is at the bottom of the bed, and who is, or perhaps some other man who is in the room completely innocently,
yeah,
because they wish to be around that child vibration because of the love that can exist there, that is not to say that they are parasitic either. They are not being something of that nature at all. That is just merely a human interpretation that because of protectionism of the child and also because they do not want them to see or to gravitate to something that they then cannot control themselves.
Yes,
and I understand this being that they are loving parents and they wish to protect their children from the things that are ugly and negative in your world. However, sometimes it is better not to subject them to such relationships, but to allow the space to develop so that it may well be that the relationship, that the spirit individual is actually present because of a loving vibration, is actually there because they wish to give something to that being.
So weigh the situation up carefully.
Yes, exactly.
Don't
so,
jump straight in.
Yes.
Okay. What about mirrors? Now we've been hearing quite a lot about mirrors, about as a way of seeing, various different things actually.
Yes, indeed.
If you look,
so
sit in a darkened room and look into a mirror.
Yes.
You may see a vision.
You
or
may.
A person.
You
Can
may.
You explain what that's about and what you feel about that?
Well. Sometimes I do believe it can be actually quite helpful, the event. In certain experiments, it may be that for the individual to be able to experience themselves, that they can have an accreditation with someone from the spirit world, it can be a way of bringing that interaction through, simply by using the mirror to concentrate the energy of mind and to enable the partition of the business of the day to actually become separated to the stillness of the mind.
Like a meditative sort of state.
Yes, exactly so. And this in itself will mean that possibly sometimes those on our side of life may be able to become interactive with them. And actually be seen. Now, this is not to say that this can ever be used in a situation to produce a physical effect in the room.
Right.
Or to be used during a physical seance situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because that then would be counterproductive. You cannot have mirrors or glass of any kind in a room where you are going to bring about physical phenomena.
Okay.
In a safe way.
Right.
And this is quite simply because glass refracts energy and dispersates it into different places in the room. It means that the energy cannot be concentrated or actually identified and conformed by those in the spirit world who are wishing to bring about the interaction.
Right.
So it means that objects such as mirrors or pictures can actually be detrimental to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the specific vicinity of where the interaction is going to take place. You understand?
Yeah. So can anything negative happen with this situation?
Well, quite possibly
about
so.
About mirrors, with looking into mirrors.
Yes, indeed so. It may happen because it actually means that whilst you are looking at the mirror, you are not necessarily being aware or concentrating upon the energies around you. And it is actually a time when attachments may occur.
Okay.
So I do not, that is why we do not actually recommend it. You could use it as an experiment, perhaps, in order to see and in order to explore the possibilities that may exist within it. But I would not do it on a regular basis. And you would also always begin with the prayer of protection, of course.
Okay.
In any instance.
and that's an attachment of a spirit to the physical body, and we'll go into that in another show.
Yes.
I see. So
because of course they will always attach themselves in a specific place.
Yes.
Yes.
And then that's another story that needs a lot of help.
Yes.
I see. So, okay. I mean, basically, most things that people have got to be very careful. People see a lot of orbs.
Yes.
At any time of year.
Yes, of course.
They're very common.
Yes.
What are they?
They are actually orbs of energy that a spirit individual is revealing in their hand. And so, actually, what you are seeing is the essence of the energy that the spirit has constructed in order for you to see as a gift, mm-hmm. so that you are then able to identify that the spirit is very close. In fact, as I say, it is in their hand.
And lots of people just get them randomly, don't they? On their cameras when they've taken
yes,
a picture wherever
so.
Or whatever.
Oh, yes, quite so.
I mean, that's excellent because it's getting people to be aware of these possibilities that didn't realise, that maybe didn't believe or weren't interested.
Yes, of course.
And so it's a good, it's another way of bringing
it. It is another doorway,
to the spirit
yes.
world, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And these energies are not, contrary to some people's popular belief, that they are actually the energy of the spirit. They are not the energy of the spirit, but have been created by that spirit in order to reveal an essence of the spirit world to you in physical form.
Yes, yes. Sometimes you can see the lights of a spirit being.
Yes.
Maybe even in a darkened room, or
yes.
or if in daylight.
Yes.
Maybe if it's against a wall background or something. And that's different, isn't it? That's just little pinpricks of brilliant white light.
Yes, exactly.
But they are
so.
Spirit beings.
That is actually what you are looking at, is a kind of a curvature of the envelope that exists between your side of life and side of life. Now, for example, there may have been observations of actual moving, fast-moving energy that exists from one place to another place. And this is what you are seeing, is perhaps the reflection of some part of a spirit on our side of life moving across the scene, or going from one place to another place. You see?
Yes, yes.
And that is actually what you are seeing, the reflection of a part of their actual physical anatomy, which is brought about by, as I say, by cellular memory, by genetic memory of the physical presence that once existed on your side of life that is now in existence in the spirit world. And what you are seeing is a reflection of it as it hits the sunlight, or as it strikes through the actual layer between the spirit world and the physical world, meaning that you are observing a reflection of it.
Wonderful. So basically, I think the message is that be aware that not all spirits that you see are going to be ghosts, you know, in that way. That a ghost is just a residual image. It will not interact with you. A spirit you can interact with.
Yes.
And when your children see these spirit people, not to be alarmed, or not to alarm the child.
Yes.
To try and let them grow in a natural way with it, so that you don't instill fear into them. And
try not to impact your energy upon them.
Yes, and if you get a situation that you are uncomfortable with, to contact a medium.
Yes.
Who can help you.
Yes, always.
Yes. And don't do anything silly when you're doing EVPs or whatever. If you must do that in graveyards, then protect yourself well.
Absolutely so, always. And try to do that if you wish. If you perhaps bring up that you acquire recordings that are pleading in some way, then please do something about that. Mm. Don't just accept that it is there actually, perhaps you should call on the services of a medium or someone like that to take them back to that place, and perhaps they can help them resolve their problem so that they are not in that form of distress.
Absolutely.
It is important that you all, each and every one of you, take responsibility for the life you lead and for the interaction you have between those on your side of life and on our side of life in every instance.
Well, thank you, Gregory. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much. Okay. With love and light, as always, we leave you at this time.
Thank you. Well, that was excellent, wasn't it? And while Mickey's coming back, I'd like to mention our books and website again. And our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. And our books are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. Journeys, you can get everything except Journeys of the Inner Songbird at from Amazon.com and any good bookstore, as well as our website. But Journeys of the Inner Songbird is only available on our website. And as well as Spirit's Work Radio Show on bloggingservice.com on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern, we have Spirit Teaching Radio Show on artistverse.com Tuesdays at 11 p.m. Eastern. And we'd just like to say that we hope you've enjoyed the show. Because we're here to join forces in a caring and encouraging way, please, you know, just to make help you to think outside of the box and to open our minds and not just play follow the leader. So
we're trying to create a better world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have to have input into it.
So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.